message. I hope this passage of Scripture, oh, my prayer for you is you would know from James the depth and the wonder of what it means that we can rest in Christ. We're talking about faith alone today. And it is part of what we say in the solas of the Reformation, in the message of the Bible, is that we're saved as a gift, the mercy of God, and we simply trust Him and we're saved. It's from something like this. I'll put from Romans here. To the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly. That's me. His faith is counted as righteousness. What sweet words, right? That you and I have this amazing, wonderful salvation from God. And we know He has us not just in distant future or distant heaven, but right now. I want you to be able to rest in that. But you do know that there's an accuser. You know, that's the name for the devil, is the accuser. What do you think he does? He comes in and he accuses you and me on these statements of we're saved by grace alone. Child of God who trusts in Jesus. The devil comes in and the accusation is, are you really his? Have you done enough? Are you obedient? Are you really loved enough? Don't you lack? Have you borne enough fruit? That's resonating with me in my life. I don't know about you. Because it goes right along with my flesh and my reason. I can find so many ways that I'm not who I should be. And if I think about the evaluation and what I know of Scripture and the study of the Word of God, how it shows me so many commands, so many ways God says this is the way to live, and I don't match up to the law, that I start to see, oh no, that accusation bears some weight in my heart. And the number one thing that the devil uses, you saw it when Jesus was tempted on the got there, right? It's the Scriptures. He uses the Bible. So the passage that's used a lot to rob us of the wonder of Christ alone for you, that you're loved and forgiven and free, is this passage that we're looking at today from James. And I just want you to have this amazing depth to untwist it, to untwist the accusation and the doubt, that you have to balance faith and works. Yeah, it's okay to have faith, but make sure it's working. The two statements that are true, which is faith alone, and then the other, but the faith that saves is never alone. Two true statements. The problem's the but. Every time in my own life, what I really focus on is what I put after the but. I really like you, but then it's going to come my complaint. You got to balance it out. And there's no but there. It's an and. And it's supposed to be assuring. You guys, do you trust in Jesus? It works. It's amazing the things that happen. So I want to show you that. Your faith is all you need, and it produces exactly what God desires, not by more you must do, but by His action on in through you. How amazing it is. To do that, I want to show you His argument. It's amazing, actually. It starts with not, quote-unquote, faith. Here it is. So we're going to pick up verse 14. We just come off of how amazing that mercy triumphs over judgment, that the gospel is true. And then he says this, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can that faith save him? Forgot I was going to have you start doing something else. Nah, we can still do it. Okay, I'm going to teach you a phrase today. It's an African phrase, if you haven't heard it. It's, let me make sure I get it right, because my mom's here and she knows it if I mispronounce it. Azezi Nangayamba. Try it. Azazi Nanga Yamba. Say it one more time for me. Azazi Yanga Namba. Don't even matter if you said it right, right? What you just did was confess Christ. Jesus loves you. Okay, we're done. You're safe. Get out of here. That's it, right? No, that's stupid. But that's something what people think, that almost like an incantation on a spell, if you would say the right syllables, if you'd say the right thing without any meaning, that somehow saves you. And James is like, what? No way. That's quote unquote, you know, they don't have in the Greek, they don't have quotation marks. But if there were quotation marks, you know how you put quotation marks around something so-called whatever, he'd be doing that. Can your faith save you, i.e. just saying words? Is it getting the syllables right when you speak? And so he says this. What good is it, fellow believers, faith alone Christians, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can that so-called faith save him? Can you just say faith? Is there such a thing as, quote, faith that doesn't mean you actually believe anything? Of course there is. Of course there is. And the example that he gives goes right along with that. He says this, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed, be filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Okay, so this is the example. This is not faith. This is the example of hypocrisy and saying something you don't believe. Not believing. So someone comes to you and you're like, oh, I so want you to be filled and to have some food, and you got a pile of sandwiches and you don't give them one. Do you really want them to be filled? And James would say, and I hope you would say, no. If I have all this money and I tell someone, you know what, I would really love for you to have just a little bit of money. Hasta la vista. And you walk away. You didn't want them to have any money. Because you didn't do what you said you thought they should have. That's all. And then he says, that's like this. That's so faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. So that means if I say I believe in Jesus, but nothing follows that. There's not connected to anything that shows that I actually do. Is it real? That's the idea, right? James is not saying that real faith gives clothing to the poor. He's saying that to say I trust and then not to have any trust is not trusting. Like, no duh. Simply saying I believe is different than actual trust. Trusting Jesus is actually trusting Jesus. Not saying I trust Jesus. It's actually not quite the same, right? It's like, okay, dumb example. My wife calls up and she says, hey, we're out of eggs. And on the way home, you know, I drive behind Safeway as I drive home usually. And I drive up and I take a left to go home. She says, hey, Safeway's got eggs. Can you stop by Safeway and get eggs for us on the way home? And if I say, sure. Safeway has eggs. Okay, and I start driving. It's possible I forget and just not get the eggs. That would be very apropos for Dax. When I get home, my wife's like, where's the eggs? And I just forgot. But it would be a totally different thing. If Safeway has eggs. Yeah, Safeway has eggs. And I turn around and I drive to the Barbos, who raise chickens, and say, hey, do you got some eggs? I don't know where else to get them. No, wait a minute. They're at Safeway on the way home. I just did the opposite. I don't actually believe Safeway has eggs because I don't actually go get them there. That's the idea, right? That's this idea that faith shows something. The question is what? Of course. Do you trust Jesus actually died for you and it worked? Or do you just say it, but you don't actually think that you're forgiven or free, paid for, clean? You know, that's the message of the gospel that we believe in, that I'm clean, not because of sins that I now don't do, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's my faith. That's what I believe. Maybe you don't really live that because of this very passage. Let me show you. But Because it starts with a real truth that introduces doubt, just saying the words. Anybody can say any words, of course. And to point out, James says that kind of mouth-only faith isn't just false, but it's dead. Faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. If there's nothing that comes out of what you do, if you don't actually believe it, you're just incanting a spell. That doesn't save you. So if faith doesn't, then what about works? That's the next piece. Not so-called works. Because he says there in verse 18, as he keeps going, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. I just want to go slowly. You need to really hear James. He says, someone will say that you have faith, but I have works. What is the person doing? He's saying, faith doesn't matter. What matters is what you do. That's the other side of this, right? All that matters is what you do. Don't talk to me about your faith. Don't talk to me about your thoughts and prayers. I just want to see what you do. And James is pointing out some people actually want to look at works like works is the important piece that, you know, you can have your mamby-pamby faith. I will do works. I will do good deeds. It doesn't matter what's inside. You just do the deed. And James says, not possible. Right? That's what he's going to say. He says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. The only thing that matters to James is that you trust Jesus. You can't go show me works without Jesus and call them anything that's helpful at all. Show me the division, says James. Show me how you're going to break it up. Show me the works that do anything good before God. Do you think your works are good? Why? I mean, works alone are nothing. It's obvious. No one gets to heaven by works. Trusting Jesus, doesn't that mean you're alive? And if you're alive, anything you do. That reflects what? I'm forgiven and free and clean. You can't tell. I just want to make sure you know that. So many people want to say, well, now that I'm a Christian, I love really well. You know, I couldn't love before I knew Jesus because I was too bound up in myself. That's just fine. But then what they want to define as love is to say, and so now I really can love my kids. So what they're essentially trying to say is that other mothers who aren't Christian don't love their kids. People that you want to say are doing acts of self-sacrifice. We're not going to call that love, but you're going to call it once now you know Jesus. That's love. Watch out. How do you know? Here's the answer. You don't. James is not making the case some people want to make. You know, they somehow want to make the case that there's some balance, you know, that now that we have faith, then we can also add some works, that you need to trust God and then you need to obey Him. And this is the obedience piece, and anyone who obeys God is doing well. You know, what's God really after then becomes the obedience. Faith is a means to get you to obey. And I dropped the love word because that's the code word people use for obedience. They'd say, hey, because that fulfills the law. So what's the deal? Here's the deal. I want to use this is my problem. You need to get this because it's really common. I want to use works to evaluate faith. Does that make sense? Like, it's one in my own heart all the time. I want to see what's happening so that I can see if I really believe. I want to go that way. That's usually behavior to go backwards to see my heart because I can't see my heart, see if I really trust. So the only thing I know if I really trust is if I'm doing things for God, and things I'm doing for God I evaluate based on the law of God, which is in the Bible. And so I have this idea that if I can do a lot of things for God that show the approved things in the Bible, then I must be really trusting Jesus because I'm obeying God. But it's a one-way street. You ever been on a one-way street? cars coming down the one-way street from the top to the bottom. And if there's plenty of traffic down that street as faith works, and then what you want to do is so many people want to drive up, back up the one-way street. But there's stuff coming down. You can't get back up that way. There's no way to go up the one-way street. So you can't go from works back to faith. There's a statement that faith produces. But the reality is, what is it producing? It's producing whatever God wants. You're not able to define the works so that you can determine the faith. That's where we get in trouble. James is saying, if you just look at the works, because that's the statement, like, you've got your faith. I just want to look at the works. I'm just going to see what you're doing. I'll take your life and examine it. And when I examine it, I'll be able to tell if you have faith, because you're going to go backwards up the hill. That's never what James is having you do. You can't check out works so you see if someone believes. It doesn't cut it. But I know for certain that the other way is true. What other way? That if you trust Jesus, things happen. I mean, don't miss, the source of the new life is not work. The source is not change. The source is trusting Jesus. Full stop. Simple vanilla faith. Trust that your sin is forgiven and that you're clean and pure and holy and right and true. That's my trust. I'm already those things. I'm trusting that. And that's faith. It's not simply believing there's a God and you better obey him. That's not the content of my faith. That's the content of the demon's faith. I mean, look what he says. You believe that God is one. Oh, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. You realize that's not a statement of believing in Jesus. That's a statement referring to the Shema in the Old Testament. The Lord God, the Lord is one. He is the great God of the heavens. Believe in him and tremble. So we go back and say, oh, yeah, I need to believe in God. I need to obey. You just skipped over the actual message of the Bible, which is you're forgiven in Jesus Christ. He came and his mercy is for you. You're clean and pure and amazing. That's not what James is saying. Hey, well, you'd be tempted to use the Bible to instead of actually believing. Believe in generic God and your works for God. By the way, the demons believe that there's a God. This is a clear shot at the law keepers. Dry assent to the existence of God does anything. Doesn't. So what makes you alive? You know the answer. Faith alone. Actually trusting Jesus. That's what we're talking about. That's what James cares about. He's not against Paul. He's in the same exact camp. Trusting Jesus. So do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Okay, we're going to look at a couple examples of real faith. That's what he's going to give us. It's not just believing there's a God, but trusting that God has you, loves you, is for you. And so he says this, you want to be shown, you foolish person, faith apart from works is useless. Understand, do I need to prove to you, he says, that if you're alive, you breathe? If you trust Jesus and you're alive, that you move? That's the flavor, right? And not get to work. But hey, this is just what it is. It's so dumb. So I was talking to someone yesterday. I said, oh, and I just got so hot and I just couldn't breathe. Couldn't breathe at all. And I was like, oh, so you died then? Because if you actually don't breathe for a significant amount of time, you're dead. And so you wouldn't ever think that someone actually means that. They said they can't breathe. They just meant they had difficulty breathing. That was what they were saying, of course. But the reality is, yeah, you want me to prove to you that if you're not breathing, you're dead? It's dumb because he's not talking about balance. He's not talking about make sure you work. Like somehow faith is a substance or an energy, and we're trying to motivate you to use the faith power that you have to produce some stuff, because otherwise you're not going to heaven. That is so not what he's talking about. He's saying this amazing faith, trusting Jesus, it does stuff. Faith makes you think differently. Just plain vanilla belief. Of course it makes a difference. You know, if I'm going to take a hike in the desert, I'm going to be gone all afternoon. And there I am in my house getting ready to go take a hike in the desert. You know what I do? Even me, because I don't burn very easily, but I put on some sunscreen. Why are you putting on sunscreen in your house, Dax? Because I believe the sun is hot. And it's going to burn me if I don't put some sunscreen on. Duh. You want to go and get burned? You can. But that's what I'm talking about, right? That sort of thing. I believe it's hot, so I have changed behavior. And then I think, okay, then what's the gospel again? What do I believe? I believe Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all of my sin that I've ever done, that I'm ever doing, that I'm ever going to do. I'm forgiven and clean. Walk it out. I really believe that. I believe that for you if you trust Jesus. Your sin doesn't keep you from God anymore. That's pretty remarkable. That's going to change how I think, how I act, all these things. If I actually have received forgiveness and I trust Jesus instead of my own works, of course it makes a difference in how I'm going to live. Not that I need instruction on how. That's like understanding the sun is hot. Well, have his examples. Here we go. The first is Abraham. So was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? He didn't talk about how faith shows itself. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Okay, the example of Abraham. Amazing example, absolutely, in James's upbringing. He was Jewish, the guy, the start of Israel, where God's interaction with Father Abraham, he's the highest of the high. And you know what? Remember that piece in Genesis 22, where he took his kid up, because God told him, you take him on up there, and it's going to be a three-day journey, and I want you to sacrifice your beloved son to me. And if you remember, Abraham's even told what he thought. I don't know how Moses knew that. God must have told him. But it says Abraham's thinking, well, you know, God resurrects the dead, or God will give me another kid. God, I just trust my God. That's the context by which we get this amazing declaration that he proved that his faith is real. But did you see the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed in God, it was counted to him as righteousness? That's because that's Genesis 17, five chapters earlier, where he's just called. Hey, God counted to him as righteousness, and it didn't show until many, many, many years later, because he got that promise before he had kids. What about all the time in between? So you see, it's not that daily you're proving that your faith is real. It's not that daily you're showing how amazing God's work is in your life. He's using one example of years later. And in between, Abraham was like giving his wife away to Pharaoh. Abraham was trying to have other kids that weren't the children of promise with handmaids of Sarah. He was doing all these things that were up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. But I'll tell you what, his faith eventually did show. There are examples of coolness, how God showed that this guy trusted. Amazing. Pretty cool. James isn't saying Abraham acted and finally sealed the deal. James says that Abraham really trusted God, and look, it showed eventually, because he did lots of, I would say, sinful things. I'm not trying to cast stones. I'm a horrible sinner, saved by grace. If Abraham's in heaven, it's because he too, saved by grace. God for him. Okay, so that's why he says, and so you see, a person is justified by works, not by faith alone. It's like, no, he didn't just say special words. He didn't just have an incantation, I trust in God. He actually did show that this is what I trust. crazy it is, and I don't understand it, and I don't fully get it. I don't know why God would require this of me, but you know what? I'm there because my only hope is this God. Pretty cool. This happens. It happens for us. Okay? There's another example. Because that was the highest of the high. It's not a difficult concept. It's not any different from Paul saying you're saved by faith alone, because James is putting these quotations here about not by faith alone, like it's some incantation. He's saying, yeah, your actual trust gets revealed. Okay. And in the same way, example number two, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. So this is a reference from Joshua chapter 2. Remember Jericho. She comes, the spies. You know, the spy says, I know. Everyone in our city is trembling with fear because we know God has given you the land and our hearts have melted. And the Lord your God, he is God of the heavens above and of the earth beneath. Big statement of faith. Super cool. And it kicked her into action, right? And she acted. She hid the spies and sent them out another way. And very cool. You say, okay. So her belief that there was a God, she didn't know a lot of theology, but she trusted there was a God. He really was real. He really was going to crush him. What can I do? Let me help you because you're God's people. And she got saved. Look, faith acted. Absolutely. 100%. Faith works. But here's the point. This is about trust. That's where the life is. You understand that where people want to go with these things is to say, look, therefore, if you trust Jesus, obey, do the law. If you're saying that, take careful note of the examples he used. Because he took Abraham and he took Rahab, and did they do the law? No! Abraham's before the law. Rahab is a pagan prostitute. She didn't say, okay, what I decided to do is trust God, therefore tell me how I can reform myself morally and stop being a prostitute and now be a woman of faith. No, she said, I'm going to get crushed. God's going to kill us all. We're all trembling. I want to be on his side. Okay. Did she reform morally? If you say yes, I'm going to say, quote me a verse. We don't know. She certainly didn't follow the law. She just saved herself by helping God's side, not the other side. So her faith shone, but you don't even know how they're going to show. How do we know this is the thing for Abraham? Is when he finally did this piece for God and he took Isaac up on a hill to kill him and murder him. Don't you think he should have said to God, God, what are you thinking? I know you're a merciful God. Please don't kill my kid. I mean, he could have done some other things. He gives these examples that we can't really process. When we say we have faith, we're trusting in forgiveness of sin. That God's done everything for us. And also I'm trusting. He's got me now. He's using me now. The next thing I want to know is, what is he doing? I want to evaluate. I want give me the law back so I can see how much of the law you're doing and I can see all the good things you're doing. That's not the issue at all. The issue is just God's using you. You can trust that. If you trust Jesus, he's using you. You don't know when and how and where. You don't know if it's the cup of water over here or the smile over here or just waking up and saying, no, I praise you this morning, dear God. And that act of worship is what God had for you to do in working out your faith. Instead of letting people use that as an accusation to say, you better do more, or maybe you're not saved. That's not anywhere in here. By the way, it's the same for the high and the low, right? So cool how he did that. He picked Abraham, who's the absolute highest of the high in any Jewish situation at all. I mean, this is the man. And then you got the Gentile prostitute. Both of them only saved by faith. Absolutely wonderful. The only issue is, did they trust? And their works were so different. Different. How are you going to tell if that was an act of faith or that wasn't? Say, well, you're not really knowing except the Bible tells us. And then you just got the one example. Not every moment of every day. They didn't start shining. Abraham's still not trusting. Another situation. Rahab, we don't even know kind of what she did afterwards so much. So do you see what trusting Jesus looks like? It's going to come out in different ways. Sometimes there's examples, sometimes you can't see it, but it's just that it's real. You actually say, my hope is in the one who died on a cross for me. His blood covers me. I'm clean. That's my life. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know it's real, and I know it's true. The example I've used before, say one Sunday a month, so you get up really early in the morning and you say, man, I love fishing. So you jump on a boat and you go out to fish. What? Don't tell the pastor that on Sunday morning you go out fishing. Boy, I'm wondering if you're really even saved. But while you're on that boat, trolling along fishing, you worship as you see the sunrise, you give your fish away to the guy in the pier who looks hungry, I don't know. That could be actual evidence of faith. I'm free to enjoy the creation of God. Well, no, you're not. You got to do what God says in the Bible. Don't forsake the fellowshipping. No, it doesn't say come to church every Sunday. A lot of you guys are like, finally. Next week's going to be empty in here. We're out of here, man. Pastor said we're going to be in church today. Yeah, you don't. We come to worship because it's amazing. I come to receive communion because I need it. I come to be encouraged by you all. It's so fabulous. But you do know that your faith working is you trusting that you're forgiven and free, which means you're actually free to go wander the hills. Enjoy God's creation. You're actually free to enjoy life that God's given you. In this whole piece of I trust God, it's finished for me. I actually do believe it. Almost the other side becomes you're limited and you're not believing it when you're like, I'm bound by all these things because if I don't do them, maybe my faith isn't real, is not the way you can go. It's just you accepting bondage for no reason. So that's amazing to me. We want to put people in a box of control. We make excuses like, well, it's God's box, but it isn't. It's almost always our box. Take this to the bank. If you trust in Jesus, you're alive. He's using you. That's the statement. I'll show you my faith by a life lived that God uses, because He does. He's making the case that trust in Jesus makes a difference in how you think, and I testify to that. I was like this. I was so misled for years by my own thinking. My own testimony is saying that I trust Jesus, but then relying on my own strength, my own effort to get myself, quote unquote, ahead in the kingdom of God. I would get to the end of the day and I'd lay in bed and I'd go back and think about all the ways that I failed. I'd feel so guilty. So what I would do is I'd try and list all my sins so that God would forgive them, you know, because it says in 1 John that God would forgive me if I confess. So I would confess all the ways I could think of that I had messed up, you know, because I had by the law. I would redouble my effort to be better the next day. And so through all my sins, and I didn't want to miss any, I might be saying I trusted Jesus' righteousness for me, but I was acting like I didn't. I was caught. So if you're going to say, Dax, in those examples, as you did that in your process, in your life, there's this whole season where you're acting like the faith in Jesus didn't matter. You're acting like the blood of Jesus didn't do anything. You're acting like you're not forgiven and free. You keep going back to thinking it's about you. And I did. Guess what? My life wasn't over. It's so incredible, you guys. It's not saying every moment of every day you get it all right and you should lean on the grace of Jesus every moment and that makes you such a great person. Look at you showing your faith. No, you fail. And the Holy Spirit brings us back around to say, you know what? It really is all about Jesus. It's real. Jesus Christ is real. He died for your sin, reality. He shed his blood for you. He adores you. He paid for all of your sin. You are free. And then it's like, okay, my faith is that. So I'm going to walk in that. And it frees me. I get to say, well, then what I want to do is I want to go serve the homeless. Fabulous. Do it. What I want to do is go fish. You're crazy. I don't like fishing, but okay. I want to come to church. Yeah, me too. Everything you get to do is in this reality that you're loved by the King because he died for you. He's using you. He's going to do the things he wants through you. He will bear fruit through you. Faith works because trusting Jesus leads to these things that he's weaving you together in this amazing tapestry of his kingdom. And it's going to be amazing for you to look back and see. That's the message of James. Jesus paid for my sin. I don't worry about my sin separating me from God. Luther said it this way. He said, faith is not what some people think it is. They think that when you hear the gospel, you start working, creating your own strength, by your own strength, a thankful heart which says, I believe. That is what they think true faith is. Instead, he says in Romans, faith is God's work in us that changes us and gives new birth from God. Watch out. Don't define what that new birth's actions are. Keep your trust on He does it. So faith works. And that means today that faith alone includes the and, not the but. Because the but tries to control you. It's like faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. That says, I really care about you getting to work. But if you say faith alone and you do know that faith that saves is never alone, it's always working. God working through you in your frustrations, in your sins, in your failures, in your successes, in your great things, in your small things. Your trust in God works because the Holy Spirit's at work and we know our fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Like you look at the story of your life and it's written in graffiti across a big highway wall. And I am so tempted. What I do is I grab a brush and I try and scrub out the bad bits. I try and see if I can remove pieces because I don't like them. And God comes and says, stop. Trust me. I've got all of you. The good bits and the bad bits, the hard parts and the easy parts, the amazing things and the low things. You just don't know. Your faith, your trust is in Him saying, I've got you. And that means giving up a bit on how you think God should use yourself and others. And you can rest. I told you I was going to try and give you rest. Because God promises He's got you. So watch out for the accuser today. Watch out for the devil. Watch out for your flesh. It wants to twist faith into works. Have you done enough? Are you really His? Where's your evidence? The evidence is Jesus, not you. Your works are simply that you lean on the truth. You take away the fear of, are you doing enough? He's got you. You get the love. I'm amazed I've been made alive. Faith works. Faith alone. And your faith is never alone. You're being used, precious people. May you lean into that. Let's pray. Father, thanks for what you've done. We do not deserve you. And we who come and sing of your mercy and receive your grace and say wholeheartedly that we trust in the work of Jesus for us, Lord, help us to also trust that you're using us exactly as you will. Lord, may we rest knowing that you're taking us where we're to go, that you're working through us, that our faith is not alone. Lord, please, please help us, oh, by your Spirit, to guard against judging ourselves, the amount that we love, the things that we do. Father, forgive us that we don't have your eyes. Help us to trust that you and your Spirit have us all the way through. It's in your precious name we pray.